You've heard the benefits of sobriety, amazing sleep, and less anxiety. But what happens if you quit drinking and now you can't sleep and you're super anxious? Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is everything you need to know about cortisol, stress, and alcohol. I'll explain how our stress system adapts to both chronic stress and chronic heavy drinking, how multiple cycles of withdrawal impacts this adaptation, how this causes more cravings, and what this means for our ability to cope with life. We think that alcohol helps take the edge off and reduce our stress levels, but it actually just makes us less resilient. So let's dig in. To the Sober Powered Podcast. I am your host, Jill, and today we are talking about cortisol. So cortisol is our stress hormone, and it's produced by the adrenal glands and controlled by the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, also called the HPA axis in the brain. The HPA axis is the neuroendocrine link between perceived stress and our physiological reaction to stress. Perceived stress is very important because your perception can be adjusted, and perception doesn't always equal reality. So that's why I'm trying to really emphasize the word perceived here. This is something that we cover in my anger management program too, if you're interested in working on this. The HPA axis also controls mood, metabolism, blood sugar regulation, digestion, memory formation, and immune response, and a bunch of other things. So it's pretty important. As you might suspect, alcohol changes the HPA axis, and it stimulates the release of cortisol, which is one contributor to anxiety. So if you want to learn the main cause of anxiety, then go back and listen to episode 22. Drinking all the time makes us feel more stressed and rushed, and it creates a cycle where we drink to relieve those feelings, then get more as payback. So let's talk about all the ways that alcohol impacts our response to stress. I have a lot of studies to share that build on each other, so stick with me. A 2024 study published in the Neurobiology of Stress looked at cortisol in drinkers versus healthy controls. The drinkers were people who fit the criteria for alcohol use disorder and were not seeking treatment, so they weren't trying to quit. There's an enzyme called 11B HSD1, the name is not important, but this enzyme converts the inactive precursor cortisone into cortisol. And this enzyme is thought to contribute to over 50% of the cortisol that hangs out in our brains. The researchers followed the levels of this enzyme in the brain for both groups. And the AUD group drank on average about 6 days a week, 52 drinks a week, and 9 drinks per day. So that is some serious drinking. This study found that levels of this enzyme were significantly higher in all the regions of the brain that they looked at, and 47% higher in the limbic circuit in the brain in the AUD group. I'll include a heat map of the levels of this enzyme on my website if you're interested in seeing more about what the participants' brains look like. But they found a relationship between the amount of enzyme in the prefrontal cortex and the number of drinks that this person was having in a day and in a week, and a relationship with the severity of their alcohol use disorder. So elevated levels of this enzyme could mean that there's more cortisol present in the brain for people with alcohol use disorder, which leads to a blunted stress response. So when we have high cortisol a lot, the brain gets used to it, and that becomes your new baseline. So imagine if you saw a bear in your backyard every day. At first, it would really freak you out, but after a while, you wouldn't even react to it anymore. It would be old news. That's what this adaptation is like. So the idea is that blunted cortisol levels develop as an adaptation to periods of hyperreactivity with stress. And we know from previous episodes that alcohol stimulates the release of cortisol, which eventually makes us get used to this higher amount sitting in our brain. I know that this is probably the opposite of what you're expecting, like this whole blunted stress response thing. And fun fact, this episode has been in the works for over a month. I've been researching it and thinking about it on and off, trying to get the full picture here so that I can explain it to you. And my scientific consultant, Mike, has also spent a lot of time researching it and talking to me about it. So it's a complicated subject, but I'm going to explain it in the next 10 minutes if you stick with me. So the thing that I want you to know here about a blunted cortisol response, also called stress habituation, is yes, you do release less cortisol when you're exposed to a stressor, but your baseline amount of cortisol is higher than the average person. So you have more cortisol sitting in your brain at all times. You just don't really respond to that. Stress habituation, or this adaptation where we get used to it, is something else that we cover in anger management because this has a big impact on our emotions. And like you can assume, cortisol also impacts the amount of cravings that we have. A 2021 study published in Translational Psychiatry exposed people with AUD to stress and then gave them cortisol to see how it would impact their cravings. Cortisol significantly increased craving in patients who had only one detox, but it reduced cravings in people that had two or more detoxes. And we've talked about multiple detoxes before in episode 191, so check that out if you haven't yet. But people who have gone through the detox process or the withdrawal stage multiple times build stronger associations with alcohol cues, so then their cravings are more powerful. So the thought here is that as your AUD worsens, the HPA axis in the brain becomes more and more dysregulated. So this is the area of the brain, remember, that's releasing cortisol in response to stress. When we first start drinking problematically, alcohol increases cortisol levels. But as we become more and more addicted, the HPA axis becomes dysregulated and we get a blunted stress response where there's less cortisol release in response to a stressor, but a higher amount of cortisol sitting in the brain at all times, a higher baseline. And this blunted stress response is reported often in patients in withdrawal. Having a higher cortisol response to stress is actually seen as protective against relapse because it helps people to reduce or to regulate those negative feelings that they experience with the stressor. And as I'll tell you more in a bit, it helps you care more. For people with more severe AUD who had a blunted cortisol response, they kept reporting more craving and more stress, although their cortisol levels were not really changing and telling that same story. They still felt it. A 2006 study published in the International Journal of Psychophysiology found that heavy drinkers had a reduced cortisol response to alcohol compared to light drinkers. meaning that they release less cortisol when they drink alcohol. And this is another vulnerability to developing a problem too. We all respond to stress differently, but if you are less responsive to physical and psychological stress, meaning your body doesn't release as much cortisol as it should, then you're more vulnerable to drinking a lot of alcohol to stimulate this response. Similarly, people that have a blunted stress response are more likely to struggle with impulse control, engage in risky driving, and to relapse. It makes us not worry about things that we should be worrying about. So, for example, kids with a blunted stress response from trauma, they don't worry as much about their exams, so then they don't study as much as their peers do, and they do worse. For us, this could be potentially not worrying about putting ourselves in situations that could lead to relapse, not worrying about the consequences that are building up, and not worrying about stressors in our lives that are leading us to drink to cope or check out. More of a feeling as like, oh, I got this, when you actually don't. A 2023 study published in Psychological Medicine found that stress habituation was correlated with more depression and less resilience. So the thought here is that this adaptation where we release less cortisol causes a dysregulation to our motivational systems when we repeatedly fail at our goals and get negative consequences. And then this strengthens our maladaptive mental state. So that would be like addiction, learned helplessness, and depression. So a blunted stress response actually makes you less resilient and less able to cope. Elevated cortisol also changes the way that neurons send signals because it makes neurons more active. So when the brain is too excited and active, it shows up as anxiety and restlessness. And we know that drinking fixes that. So then we drink to relieve stress and anxiety, but then heavy drinking disrupts the body's ability to manage cortisol, making us not respond well to stress. So then we drink to deal with the stress. The reason that people with a dysregulated stress system are more likely to relapse is because we are seeking high amounts of alcohol to regulate our stress system. Studies have found that small or moderate amounts of alcohol don't increase cortisol for people with severe AUD. Only large amounts do. And this is the key here. So I hope that you really heard that and understood it. Our stress system is dysregulated. It doesn't work like it's supposed to. And small or moderate amounts of alcohol cannot stimulate the release of cortisol like they used to. So we have to drink very large amounts of alcohol to regulate our stress system that's been disrupted from all the alcohol that we drink. So basically, we're seeking to fix a problem in the brain that trauma or all of our heavy drinking has caused. I've described this in previous episodes too, where we had some vulnerability that existed before we started drinking or an adaptation from our drinking, and then alcohol will fix the problem and normalize it temporarily. So this is also why you need to listen to all my episodes, by the way, because they build on each other. But when we don't have alcohol, our stress system is messed up. And our body sends us cravings because it knows that alcohol will normalize our stress hormones. Just like you have increased anxiety when you stop drinking and your body craves alcohol because it knows that it will relax you and put everything back into balance. So just like with anxiety, this is our body seeking to restore balance to a messed up stress system. A 2019 study published in Addiction Biology looked at binge drinkers and heavy drinkers in one group, and then they compared them to social drinkers who just drink moderately. So they exposed them to discrete alcohol cues, which are things that we see in daily life that we don't even consciously realize are about alcohol, but they still trigger a craving. So they found that stress in combination with these discrete cues caused an increase in cravings in the problem drinker group and not in the moderate drinker group. And the problem drinkers also had this blunted cortisol response that I'm describing, and the moderate drinkers did not. And the reason I'm explaining this study is because they found something interesting about what happens after the drinking is over. So the problem drinkers had a rise in cortisol after drinking that was associated with more cravings. And what they found is that the amount of craving that they had and the disrupted cortisol response and alcohol cues were associated with increased alcohol intake. So the more that you had these things, the more alcohol you drank. And another thing that they found is that obviously the problem drinkers drank more alcohol, but their cravings remained significantly higher and dropped much less than the moderate drinkers over time, even when there was clearly no more alcohol to drink. So they found that the more alcohol that the problem drinkers consumed in one session, the higher their craving levels remained. And this relationship did not exist for the moderate drinkers. And the researchers made this conclusion. Here's a quote. Alcohol intake appeared to satiate the moderate drinkers, but not the problem drinkers. And that's what it's all about, right? Alcohol doesn't satisfy us like it does for other people. And that's why we can't moderate. So what I want you to understand from this episode is the more that you drink, the more that your stress system becomes dysregulated, and then the more that you need to drink to try to regulate it temporarily, but then the more dysregulated it becomes, and so on and so on and so on. So alcohol does not help you with your stress. It literally causes stress. So if this resonates with you, just please remind yourself, alcohol does not help with stress. It's just magnifying your stress, and at the same time, it's making you less resilient, less able to cope with it. We need to learn actual coping skills, and we have to learn how to take things off of our plate so that they don't build up. If you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate it if you could share it and leave a review for this podcast. It helps get the show in front of more people that need it. And this show takes a lot of work, so I appreciate your help in spreading the word and your kind reviews. So go practice some coping skills, and I'll talk to you in the next one.
It's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.